Listen up, kids. I wanted you in here this morning. I told Eric and PJ, let the kids come in because I've got some words for you. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. My mom's favorite verse, probably. Ephesians chapter 6. We're just going to read through four verses this morning and cover three of them. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up, raise them, in the training and admonition of the Lord. Paul the Apostle gives this command. It's very logical as he's teaching the people in Ephesus, those believers that had come to faith in Christ, because they lived in a culture not unlike ours. You know, Ephesus was a tough place to raise children. Ephesus was a very worldly city. It was a business center. Everybody was busy working all the time, just trying to get by. They probably sat in chariot traffic like you may have sat in traffic this week, lamenting the fact that you got to work so hard just to pay the bills. Also, Ephesus was a town that was big on philosophy and education. It was kind of a university town. People were learning new things all the time, thinking they were so smart. Not only that, Ephesus was a city that was big on sports. They had the major games in that city. Everybody was obsessed. They maybe even had the big flags hanging from their house for the local teams like we do here in Hawaii. People were very busy with those things. They were very important to them. Of course, you know that paganism was rampant in Ephesus. And with paganism, there was all sorts of spiritual things happening. You can read about Ephesus in Acts chapter 19. Paul the Apostle had all kinds of demons to deal with and idolaters to deal with. And God had to do a major thing and a wonderful thing. But of course, Ephesus was also world renowned for its sexual promiscuity. They were big into pornography. So when we look at our culture and we look at Ephesus, we go, well, it wasn't that much different. People had little time to focus on the family, little time to build up their marriage and raise kids. The wonderful thing is that Jesus came into their hearts and their minds and their lives and they changed them. What would that be like, though, to live in that world and to only have the values you've taken from the world around you, from the temple or the university or the business world, and you had nothing until Jesus Christ came into your life and you were born again? You've seen the light. Wow, I have hope and I have purpose. I have a relationship with God. And now your view of the family has totally changed. Your family is no longer a liability. These kids aren't just more mouths to feed. They're a blessing from the Lord, like the scripture says. And your job as a parent isn't a hassle. It's now a great divine responsibility. But you don't know what you're doing. You're clueless. Or maybe you're a young person and you have no idea what it means to respect or honor your father and mother. What would that be like? How would you learn? Well, that's why Paul the Apostle writes the letter. The letter that he writes to the Ephesians is to a bunch of people that live in a culture like us. And he starts, as you remember, telling us how we got saved, how we've been adopted by God the Father, how he's been given the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. And the first half of the whole book, he's talking about God's work in us. But then when he gets to the second half, chapter 4, right, he says, so now you walk worthy. Well, how do I do that? And so much of chapters 4, 5, and 6 are about that worthy walk, but they're characterized by walking according to the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. I mean, throughout those chapters, you see chapter 4, verse 3, for example, he tells us to preserve the unity of the Spirit. And then a few verses later in chapter 4, verse 23, we're told to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. And then in verse 40, we're told not to grieve the Holy Spirit. And then in chapter 5, it's the same kind of thing. He tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is love and so forth. And he tells us to be filled with the Holy Spirit in verse 18 of chapter 5. And then in chapter 5, verse 19, he tells us we ought to be singing spiritual songs. And of course, you know, chapter 6, he tells us at the end of the chapter that we are in a spiritual battle and you need a spiritual weapon, the Word of God, and you need to be praying in the Spirit. So all of this is Spirit-driven and Spirit-taught. This is the wisdom of God's Holy Spirit. And as part of that, he tells us, hey, don't be influenced by the things of the world, you know? Don't be influenced by your past. Don't be influenced by substances. Don't be drunk with wine, he says, but be filled with the Spirit. Don't be influenced by the world around you. Instead, be influenced by the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God. And what does that look like? Well, he talks about families first. Wives, husbands, your instruction is there at the end of chapter 5. Now he turns to the children. He turns to the children. In chapter 6, he's going to talk to children. He's going to talk to parents. Then he's going to talk to employees. This morning, I had hoped to speak to the children and to the parents, but there's so much for both that we're just going to be talking to the kids. Well, not kids. Anybody with parents is a child. You might be old. You might have parents that have passed away. But everybody that comes into this world comes through parents. Thank heavens for parents. Without them, none of us would be here. And we have these commands here in verses 2 and 3. I just want you to notice a couple of things. I want to break this apart for us so that we can sort of chew on it in bite-sized pieces. There's really two commands for children. Number one, obey, and number two, honor. Did you see that? In verse 1, it says, children, obey your parents. And then he quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 5 in verses 2 and 3, and he says, honor your father and your mother. This helps us to understand when you're young, really you can only obey. And when you get older, your relationship to your parents changes a little bit. They're not telling you to take out the trash or clean your room anymore. You should do that anyway. You're probably telling your children to do that, but your relationship changes to one that is reflected by honor, honoring. What does it mean to obey? Well, the word for obey there comes from the Greek word akouo, where we get our word acoustics, and it means to listen. It means to listen with clarity. Acoustics is the science of sound. A good person with acoustics knows that you can hear clearly. You don't want sound in a speaker or a car or a theater or anything to be muddled where you can't hear it because of the vibration. So to obey here means to listen with clarity with the intent to obey. So children, here's your first command. Listen to your parents. Listen to them. Not just hearing them, because I know there's a big difference between hearing and listening. And besides that, kids, you have all kinds of voices in your school, you know, on your laptop, in your earphones. Don't make your parents compete with the other things that you're listening to. Listen to them with the intent to obey. Don't let your parents' voices be background noise that you can ignore. To obey, very simply, by definition, is the compliance to an order or a request. But it carries with it the meaning that it's not just in body, but also in mind. How many of you, when you were younger, obeyed with the old eye roll? Take out the trash? Okay. And you did. You were obedient in your body, but your attitude wasn't. Well, that's not complete obedience. It means doing what you're told and agreeing with it. It means submitting to your father and mother's request or command. Now, notice in verse 1, it also says, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, that's that qualifier we read about in chapter 5 as well. In the Lord, well, that speaks to us of an ideal situation. And I know, in a group like ours, I'm not talking to people, and myself included, nobody has a perfect, pristine parental or family background. They didn't in Ephesus either, but Paul gives the command anyway. It's never going to be perfect. But he says, in the Lord. Now, in the Lord means you don't have to obey your parents if they tell you to go out and sell drugs or steal. He's talking about the ideal. And so you obey the best you can, even if you're in a trying situation. Obey, and then in verse 2, he says, honor. I think honor is probably reserved for those who are a little bit older. It speaks of reverence and respect and even care. Remember, Jesus rebuked the religious people who were not honoring their parents, and it was in the context of not providing for them. Their parents had need. They weren't being taken care of. And these people had a pious look to them, but they were neglecting their parents. And Jesus says, you're violating the commandment of God by not honoring your parents. And we probably understand this to mean that honoring your parents means that as we're adults, we respect our parents' opinion and we value their advice. We keep them included in our family. We keep the lines of communication open. We bring them to gatherings. We call them. We make sure they're not isolated, alienated, alone. We just keep up with them. Now the question would come, well, what if I had bad parents or neglectful parents, abusive parents, or absent parents? What, I didn't have parents. My uncle raised me, or my grandparents raised me. Well, that's true. It can be very difficult to honor an absent father or an overbearing mother, right? But here, Paul the Apostle is speaking about the ideal. All you can do is do your best to find something that you can be grateful, seize upon that, and honor that. And the reasons will become clear later. But remember what David said. The great King David in Psalm 27, verse 10, he said, even if my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. And the reason for that is when we honor our father and mother, or even the idea or the ideal of the father or the mother, we're honoring God, and the Lord will honor us. And here's something for you kids to remember. If you have a hard time honoring your parents, which I think every generation does, do you remember when we knew everything in junior high school and then high school? And then we went away to college and we came back, and it was amazing how much our parents learned over that time. This is something that you need to remember if you're a young person here today. Remember two things about your parents. Number one, they don't know what they're doing. And number two, you don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. By the way, kids think that parents went to a class, or that maybe they have a degree in parenting. You can go to college, parenting 101. There are no classes, kids. So your parents are learning on the job, trial and error. You're either one or two of those. You're either trial or you're the error. They're just doing the best they know how, and nobody knows how. And it's hard. They're not experts. Nobody's a professional parent. You don't get paid for it. You actually have to pay in order to do it. So realize this, that they're only doing the best they can. They didn't even probably have a good role model at home. Maybe they didn't grow up with the perfect father or the perfect mother. They're just scraping together any role model or any character, anything they can do to be whatever they can be for you. So cut them some slack. They're just doing the best they can, and it's hard work. You have no idea what goes into being a parent. Neither do they. They're just doing their best. So that's the first thing. The second thing is you have really little understanding of how much goes into being a parent. I mean, how much the groceries cost, the health insurance, the car registration, the taxes, the rent. On top of that, do you know what it's like to juggle the stress of life, of raising kids, of keeping the house secure at night, locking the door, worrying about them? Do you have any idea? No, you don't. My wife and I, one time years ago, we calculated how many diapers we changed. Conservatively, we thought it was between 5,000 and 6,000 diapers per child. You know, it's like 5 to 6 a day, especially when they're young. They're just, you know, they're constant. They're just little creatures that poop and pee all the time. And you just change a diaper, you change a diaper, you change. Each one of them, you owe me 5,000 diapers, and I'm going to make you repay me when I'm older, maybe. Kids don't know that you've purchased a life insurance policy so that if you die, they won't starve. Kids, you don't understand that, but that's okay. One day you will. You don't understand that as a parent, you start wearing your seatbelt, not for your own health, but for them, right? You just can't understand what it's like to be a parent. And on top of all the pressure there is, mom and dad, in an ideal situation, they're doing the best they can do just to keep their own spiritual life intact, and to keep the flames of their romance with their spouse intact. You have no idea. So just honor them. One day you might be able to appreciate it, but now just realize this. You have no idea. You don't know what you're thinking. You have no idea what they do. So honor them. Now, Paul the Apostle in this passage gives us three reasons why, as if he needs to. I think maybe he knows that there would be young people reading it. Why? Why should I obey? Well, first of all, because it's right. Secondly, because it's scriptural. And then thirdly, there is actually a promise. Notice in verse 1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is right. That's basically, this is universal. This truth is not restricted to Christianity or Judaism. You can go anywhere in the world for any time in the world, and universally, every culture, every religion, every group of people that the world has ever seen would all agree that it is right to obey, to listen, to respect your parents, right? You can't find a society where it's a great thing. Oh, disobey your parents. That's the way to go. Well, maybe our society, we're getting there, aren't we? But it's just the right thing to do. Everybody agrees. And there's probably reasons for that. It's wrong to disobey. It's wrong to be disrespectful. And that's fairly obvious. I mean, every culture knows that children hold the future. And if they're good to their parents, they're the next generation. The society in which they're part of will survive. If they disrespect their parents, they disrespect all authority, and that society's days are numbered. It'll collapse very soon. If children don't honor their parents, they won't honor anybody. And if you can't honor somebody that gave you your life, your food, changed 5,000 diapers, fed you, gave you your very existence, you will be a worthless human being. Sad to say. And so every people in the history of mankind has known that it's right to honor and obey your parents. That's just the way it is. You know, it's been said before that it's better to train a child than to try to fix an adult. Or in other words, the future of a society is found in the high chair and not the electric chair. So it is right. Secondly, the Bible tells us here that it's scriptural. Notice he quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verses 2 and 3. Now, you've heard this verse before. Maybe you read it in Exodus chapter 20 when God first gave the Ten Commandments from Mount Sinai. Chapter 20 of Exodus tells us the same thing. Then Moses repeats it in Deuteronomy chapter 5. This is from verse 16. It says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. It's scriptural. About four times in the scripture that the Bible addresses children specifically, and it's all the same thing. Obey your parents. Actually, there's one passage in Leviticus. Every passage says honor your father and your mother. Honor is a special word. It speaks of glory, like you'd give glory to God. So you need to treat your parents the way, you know, it's sort of akin or relative to praise, adoration. I wouldn't go so far as to say worship, but it's that aspect of giving credit where credit is due, and you just have to do that to parents. But in Leviticus, there's a passage in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 3, where it says, fear your mother and your father. And I always found it interesting that it puts mother first there. When it says fear, it's a different word. It says fear your mom. And that's really not hard to do. Everybody's a little afraid of their mom. But the Bible very clearly tells us in the scripture that it is a commandment of God. As we study the Ten Commandments, you'll know that there are two tablets, and we believe two tablets of five commandments each. The first tablet speaks of our relationship vertically to God. You will have no other gods before me, God says. You'll not make an idol. You'll honor the Sabbath day. You'll not take my name in vain. That all has to do with our honoring God who is above us. But then God sneaks in the fifth commandment, which is honor your father and your mother. And it's an interesting relationship because in a very real sense, our parents kind of play the role. They're not God, but they play the role of God in our lives. They give us our very existence from the womb, everything. And they feed us and change us, and they're responsible for everything that we have. And so when we honor our parents, we are one step away from actually honoring God. It's very difficult to honor God if you can't honor your parents. Now, not everybody has had the luxury of having parents that are easy to honor, right? Sometimes you have parents that are absent, or they're failures, or they're just doing the best they can, but they haven't represented God very well. Some people, they suffer in their relationship with God because their parents, they haven't done a perfect job. But a person's view of the Lord is largely formed by their first view of their parents. And so the part of a child is to give that honor, to give that credit, to give that blessing. That's scriptural. And then finally, we read here in verse 3 that it's a blessing. You know, God doesn't have to give us reasons to obey, right? He's God. You know, we don't have to have a debate. God says, you'll have no other gods before me. Well, why is that? I don't know why. You got to give me some reasons. No, he's God. He just says it, right? I don't have to give you a reason. But it's amazing. When you read the Ten Commandments, God gets to the fifth commandment. He goes, well, let me explain something to you. There's a blessing here. And he says that it may go well with you, or that you may live long in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Now, as a kid, my parents told me that, well, if you obey your mom and dad, then you'll have a long life. And that's a great promise. It's true to some extent. It's a nice thought. But the promise here is bigger than that. See, God was commanding his people Israel that was about to enter into the promised land. And what God was saying with this promise was that if you build a society that places an emphasis on honoring your father and mother, you will have a strong society that will last for a long time in the land. That's the same word for earth, the land that I'm giving you. And so the truth here is that honoring your parents comes with the promise of having a long-lasting and a secure society. And if you build a society that honors parents, then you'll have the groundwork for blessing and prosperity and security. And we can see in our world today that that's not necessarily the case. Maybe it used to be, but all sorts of societal problems come directly as a link to the breakdown of the family. You know, the nuclear family is the best possible environment for children to be raised and to become responsible, productive adults. And broken homes can be catastrophic. The fatherlessness crisis in the United States is terrible. I read somewhere that 70% of the prison population in the United States comes from fatherless homes. And by the way, I have no interest whatsoever in lessening anyone's pain or pointing out that the efforts that they're making as a single parent are not valid. If you're a single parent or a part-time parent, you don't see your kids all the time, you're doing the best you can. God bless you. Lord strengthen you. But we can't get away from the truth. And we live in a weird world today where in political circles or philosophically, you have to argue in order to make the point that a home with a father is better than a home without a father. But we're not idiots. We know that it's better to have a home with a father. That's just a fact. But more and more, kids are being raised without fathers. In some demographics, up to 55% of children are raised without fathers. It's a cataclysm. And those poor kids, they don't know, well, how do you honor a father if he doesn't exist? But, you know, we're starting to get into the next subject with it, which is fathers. But before we emphasize too much the children's responsibility to both obey, to listen, and to honor, that is to give respect, we want to make sure that parents know that their job is to be honorable and respectable. Many parents, they don't really want to parent. You know, they want love. But nowhere in the Bible does God command children to love their parents. Many parents want to be loved. Many parents want to have children that are accessories to their life. We see it among these Hollywood types that like to adopt children as handbags or jewelries, like little human pets. And of course, they'll have the nanny take care of them, but they'll carry them around for the photo ops and so forth. And those poor children, they've been brought into this world and they don't have a parent that is interested in raising them and training them and teaching them. Instead, they've had a child because they need a friend. They need a buddy. They need a bestie with whom they can take selfies and post it online. And many times, parents treat their children in such a way because they have a deep deficiency within themselves. They're grossly insecure. Many times parents are not getting from their marriage or their spouse or from the Lord what they need to satisfy their own identity. Therefore, they use their children as something to give them meaning. And this is catastrophic for children. This puts so much pressure on children. Many parents, they don't think it's right to demand or command respect from their kids. Many educated people in the United States today, they don't want their children to respect them. They deserve respect, they deserve honor, but they don't want it because they feel like any respect is a sign of authority, and in their mind, authority is bad. Authority means that there's a tyrannical patriarchy, and that's evil. Masculinity is considered to be toxic. Any authority. So parents cease parenting, and they become peers to their children. And many children in the United States today have parents, but they're not really parents. They're just grown-up peers with enough money to pay for their food. But they're not being given the shelter and the environment in which to grow. Now, how do you see that in your world today? Well, you see it at the grocery store when mom is arguing with her child that he or she can't eat ice cream for dinner. Explaining it to them. It drives me crazy sometimes.
now, Billy, you know, you can't have ice cream for dinner because if you eat ice cream, then you're not going to be hungry. And it's like, dude, you don't have to explain it. You're the Lord over their life. You tell them how it is, and they deal with it. Or dad, bargaining with their kid. If you're obedient now, then later I'll let you play on the iPad. And there's all of this transaction, which is a display of the weakness, the gross insecurity. Maybe mom doesn't get her love and her identity from her husband, and so she derives it from her child, you know, sucking the life out of them. And I'll take care of you, but you can never leave me. Helicopter mom. Never pick them up. Tying their shoes till they're 34, living in the basement. You know, our world has people that will get all sorts of crazy attention for the most atrocious crimes and gossip against other people. And when they're discovered and found out, what do? They blame you. Why? Because they've never been raised by parents. They're like feral children, but they've grown up. Not respecting mom or dad, not obeying. They don't know how to obey. Russell writes that in the last days, it'll be bad. And among his list of bad things, what does he say? They will be disobedient to parents. And years ago, I read that and I thought, well, that's not that big of a deal. I mean, everybody's disobedient here or there. No, but he's talking about a type of culture that is rebellious at its core, that refuses to obey the authority of their parents and therefore any authority whatsoever. Not their boss. Not the police, not the government. They won't pledge to the flag, and they hate God. Why? Because God is the ultimate authority. And they're simply unable to obey the scriptures because they never obeyed their parents. They can't. They're spoiled. They're coddled. Oh, don't get me started. It's not even in my notes, but this is the stuff I live and I breathe, and I think, what's wrong with these people? Crawling around in universities looking for safe places because mommy's not here to protect me. Because dad was never there to say, grow up, suck it up. I know it hurts, but it's going to heal. But many people, they suck the life out of their kids because of their own deficiencies. You know, it's love. They call it love. I'm not getting the love from my husband, so I must have love from my children. But the Bible doesn't demand that your children love you. It demands that they respect you. Because respect is better for you than loving your parents. You can't help but love your parents, but you can help but, and you can have a choice to honor or dishonor your parents. Now, the thing is that this promise goes on, and it says that it's a blessing, and it's a blessing in the sense that the nation of Israel would live long in the promised land that they had, but it also speaks to us about a greater truth that our society is made strong when we have strong respect and authority for our parents. The problem is kids can't respect their parents, then their parents' insecurities and deficiencies are passed on to the children. And I've seen this, you know what I'm talking about. Kids, by nature, will always push the limits, won't they? They'll always explore. They'll always go as far as they can. And what a parent's job is to say, well, that's the limit. You can go this far and no further, and then they put their foot down. But if a parent isn't demanding respect, then kids are going to just push further and further and further and find out what is acceptable. A parental job is to give boundaries that reinforce for any young person that there are limits, right? There's boundaries. I can do this, but not this. I can go this far, but I can't. And what that does, what that internalizes for a child is it says that they are not in control. They're not in control. That's good. You know, sometimes I'll wrestle with my boys and my girls, but they're kind of getting bigger now. They're starting to beat me, so I don't want to wrestle with them anymore. But you know that rough and tumble play of a dad with his kids is so healthy because it's thrilling for a kid. But one of the things that it reinforces to them is that they are not the strongest being on the planet by far. See, kids don't want to be in control. Can you imagine if you're a five-year-old and you're pushing the limits, but mom or dad isn't giving you any limits and you're arguing with them and you're winning arguments? Do you know what that does to the psyche? That says you're in charge. That is a nightmare for a five-year-old to be faced with the idea or that their little reality that they rule the world. That's terrifying. They're neither prepared for it. They're not equipped for it. See, kids thrive and they grow and they develop in the safety and security of parents that demand and command honor. Without that, kids are like a vine without a trellis. They're just going to grow in the dirt, but they're not going to have a structure upon which to grow. And not only that, they won't even know what they are to become, you see. That's what honor does. And I want to encourage you, if you're a young person, and if you're old as well, this is the blessing of the Lord, that when we honor something, what we do is we create a psychological template into which we grow. Now, you probably know this. This isn't new, but you recognize that when you idolize something, you tend to emulate it as well. In fact, David would say something like that in the Psalms. When he talked about people worshiping false gods, he says, Lord, they're becoming like the things they worship. And the problem is, when you worship a false god, you become false yourself. You become a lie because they're a lie. You become deaf because they're deaf. You become blind because they're blind. You become stupid because idolatry is stupid. But he points out a truth about human nature, that when we see something, when we honor it, when we like it, we tend to grow into that mold. So here's what happens. When you honor your father and mother, you will tend to grow into what you honor. Now, that can be hard. If you don't have a good father or mother, that's something that a challenge that you might face. But what you can do is you can honor the ideal. You can honor fatherhood. Maybe your parents have passed away. Well, what do I do if my parents are gone? How do I honor? Well, you honor their memory. You honor what they stood for. You honor what they did. And as you honor that, you become a greater parent than you could ever be without that honor. Do you see how it works? It's sort of a mold that shapes you, and you'll become what you honor. Now, as a parent, my job is to train my children to become men, women, that can take my place in society. They're not going to be my babies their whole life. I know that, so I can't treat them like that. When the baby grows into a toddler, the baby is gone forever. The baby's dead, so to speak. Psychologically, there is a toddler now. When the toddler's gone, that is a young boy or a young girl. And then when they're a teenager, they're different. But at every phase, I have to let go so that one day they can take my place in this world, because I'll be gone. And if I don't function in that and I don't give them a model in which to grow, then they'll never be able to grow. They'll be stunted in their growth. They'll stay whatever I wanted them to stay because I needed a little buddy or a child or something like that. But when I train them to be the guardians of the culture in the future, they're enabled to grow into something that they want to be and that they need to be. But God forbid, you know, you didn't have an ideal parent. Well, even without perfect parents, a person can honor the ideal. And even without that, you can honor what God has given you in His Word. Even with the challenges of having absent parents, we still have, I mean, we call it a father figure. Even if it's an ideal, even if it's the greatest, there's no such thing as a perfect father except the Lord Himself. And we all fall short of being a good parent. And you're only going to find perfection in God Himself. But a man, he might have a poor example for a father, but if he honors his dad in whatever way he can, what he's doing is he's honoring the role of a father, and he creates the mold or the opportunity for himself to become a father. If he honors his mother, flawed as she may be, he'll later become able to love his wife the way that he ought to. I mean, I can't love my wife if I hate my mom. I can't honor my wife unless I honor my mom. My mom was the first woman I ever knew. And if I've got issues, or if I'm angry, or if I'm bitter, or if I'm disobedient, or if I'm disrespectful, then I'm going to be disrespectful for all women, and ultimately my wife is going to suffer. You know this, though. Right? You see this played out time and time again. Maybe you even see tendencies in yourself toward this. And honoring my mom teaches me how to honor all women and love my wife. And that's what we want to model for our daughters and for our sons. I want my daughters to find some guy that loves their mom, if possible. Same for my sons. I want them to find a girl that likes her dad. What about loves her dad? Well, yeah, that's fine, but likes. Does she like him? Does she get along with him? Or does she hate him? Does she have daddy issues? Is she embittered? She doesn't trust him. Because that's going to carry over. So the first relationships that we have to our parents are going to reflect, and they're going to come out in all of our other relationships. And if you don't honor your father and mother, well, maybe that's why you're having problems in your marriage. And maybe you need to go back down into the deep parts of your heart and say, Lord, I'm having issues, but I'm not sure if they're connected to my spouse or my children. Maybe it's because I never really learned how to honor my father and my mother. And God bless you. Maybe you never had the chance. Oh, man, I know, as a pastor, I know some stories. There are terrible things that parents can do that are so brutally cruel, and you almost wonder if it would have been better if they didn't have that mom or that dad to do the damage that they did. And some people have to overcome these colossal disadvantages. And yet the wonderful thing is that the Lord is good. And when somebody comes to faith in the Lord, they have a perfect father and they can come to know him. And that even though nobody is perfect, God can do wonders even without ideal parents. But still, my job as a parent is to raise the best versions of themselves that they could be. Or as one pastor said, they need to be two things. They need to be employable and marryable. That's all. If I've done that, then I'll be happy. Now, next week, I'm going to talk more about the role of parents. And you know, as I was preparing this, there's just too much for us to share it with the dads and the moms. But I want to close by reminding you, children, to obey your parents. Don't argue with them. Don't debate with them. Or listen when you want to only. Don't make them compete with other voices, the music or media around you. And don't delay your obedience or obey with your eyes rolled. Obey means to do it both physically and mentally. Agree with them. If that's what mom says, I'm going to do it. If that's what dad says, I agree. So obey with a good attitude. And remember this, they're just doing their best. I mean, they don't know what they're doing, but they're doing their best. They're doing the best they know how. And you have no idea what they're doing. They might not know what they're doing, but neither do you. You have no idea. So give them the credit. And you might even need to forgive your parents. Oh, God knows. I've made mistakes as a father. Many mistakes. Now, you might be thinking, no, not you. Absolutely. You know, I'm joking. I need my kids' forgiveness. I need to look at my parents in the same way, realizing they were just doing the best they knew how. It's not their fault. You know, in the Old Testament, God spoke to one of the prophets, and he said, you know, this people, they have this saying where they say, our parents ate bad grapes, and our teeth are set on edge. It was kind of a thing to say, well, you guys ruined everything for us. It's your fault. Same thing happens in our world today. People blame their parents for things that they have done. A guy gets 35 convictions, and he says, well, mama never loved me. And there comes a point in your life where you just take responsibility. And there might be a point where you just have to say, my parents did the best they could, and I forgive them. And maybe it's going to take me a while, but I can find one thing that they did. And they were a loser in all these other areas, but I'm grateful for that one thing, and the rest I just give to the Lord. Because the Lord's my father, like David said. And he didn't say, by the way, I think I quoted it to be friendlier to David's parents, but David said in Psalm 27, even though my parents forsake me, the Lord will lift me up. You know, your parents are going to let you down in some way or another, but the Lord will never let you down. So obey your parents. And if you're older, well, do your best to honor them. Visit them, call them, help them out, put up with them. They get quirky when they get older. I know that. Well, if they're not perfect, well, find one thing to be grateful for and begin to express that gratitude. And I believe that God will begin to work some new things in your life. There will be an opening, a flow. Maybe the dam will break and God's refreshment might come in if you can just forgive or show honor, include them. Find something that you can be thankful for and give the rest to the Lord. And if you need to, provide for them. Provide for them. Don't leave them neglected or alone. You know, repay the diapers that they've changed on you. Or honor their memory. Thank God for the time that you had with them. Honor their efforts. Honor their struggles. Honor their triumphs. And if it was hard for you, then thank God that you're tough. Thank God that whatever flaws they have made you stronger. Because the Lord's been your parent the whole time. It'll make you a better person and a better parent, and it will clarify the ideal that I know you want to become. Honor fatherhood. Honor motherhood. Love your husband. Love your wife. Ultimately, by doing so, you honor the Lord, and the Lord is pleased to bless you for it. Next week, we'll study what fathers and mothers ought to be as parents. And I'll do my best to sum it up in one sermon. There's so much to talk about. Father, this morning we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that you have given us this beautiful structure of the family. We hardly ever think that it's an amazing thing that you took the title to yourself, Father. Before you created human beings, Lord, before time began, your word tells us that you existed eternally in a relationship that when we were created, you deemed to identify the Trinity as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's something so deep and profound about the relationship within a family. And Lord, this morning we want to declare that we are grateful that our parents gave us life, whether they're still with us or whether they've gone on, whether they were good or bad. Lord, we're here because we were conceived and we were brought into existence by a couple of people. And for that, Lord, we're grateful and we thank you. Help us, therefore, to honor the role of father and the role of mother. Help us to be gracious and overlook any faults, even to forgive if necessary. But Lord, enable us to be children that are honorable, obedient, respectful. Lord, in a world that is increasingly hostile to families and especially parents, as your people in this world, we stand and we say, not with us, we honor the family. We honor the good roles that God has given us to do. And Lord, we want to step up and be obedient children and honor you ultimately, knowing that you'll bless us as we do so. So keep us today as we go. We pray in Jesus' name.